Heute gibt es etwas Besonderes für euch. Da ich in letzter Zeit häufig auf Marketing-Fragestellungen angesprochen wurde, habe ich euch ein Interview von mir mit Mark Copeman aufbereitet, das ich vor wenigen Monaten für das Projekt MSP Journey aufgenommen habe. Mark ist in UK Director bei Wingman MSP Marketing und ein echter Experte auf seinem Gebiet. In unserem Gespräch erörtert Mark Copeman, wie wichtig es gerade in der MSP-Branche ist, neue Gespräche und Verkaufschancen zu starten und Vertrauen aufzubauen. Er prognostiziert, dass der MSP-Markt in Zukunft noch wettbewerbsintensiver werden wird und bespricht, wie man ein erfolgreiches Marketing aufbauen kann, auch wenn man heute auf diesem Feld noch nicht sehr aktiv ist. Herzlich willkommen bei MSP Insights, dem Podcast für Systemhauschefs und Führungskräfte, die im Bereich Dienstleistungen und Managed Services profitabel wachsen wollen. Mein Name ist Olaf Kaiser und ich bin Partner und Berater in der Unternehmensberatung UBEGA. Wenn ihr diesen Podcast mögt, dann abonniert ihn gerne und gebt ihm eine gute Bewertung. Damit helft ihr uns sehr bei der weiteren Umsetzung. Und jetzt viel Spaß mit dem Gespräch. Good morning, Mark. I'm really excited to have you on the MSP Journey Show. And before I will ask you my many questions, please give us some background. What led you into IT and marketing?
Yeah, sure. Olaf, thanks for having me on. And apologies for my very narrow eyes, as we were just saying before we started. Oh, late night last night. But my brain is whirring. And I got into this IT world, I guess, like many people, almost by accident. It's not something I thought about at school, at university necessarily. But I began my career in BT, British Telecom, here in the UK. And then I founded a couple of marketing agencies and got involved in video and so on. But this where I am now is a result of a business I founded in 2010 called Customer Thermometer, which I still talk about as the world's kind of first one-click feedback tool, which we created because of the poor response rates that people were getting to those sort of multi-question surveys. So this is where the age of the smiley face and so on started to kick in. And we're incredibly proud of what we created. And we focused it on marketing agencies originally. But within a year or so of creating this, suddenly all these things called managed service providers started to sign up for the service. And I'm like, wow, what is this? Really, the rest is history. So from 2011 to current day, I guess I fell into this incredible industry that we're part of and kind of immersed myself in it. And we started to integrate with the different PSA vendors. And over the time I had at Customer Thermometer until 2018, we had about 500, I think, or so MSPs that came onto the service, who I had the pleasure of working with and talking about CSAT and customer satisfaction and so on. So yeah, that's how I got into this industry. And you'll have to drag me out of it now. I'm very much part of it.
So you also had your sort of MSP journey.
Exactly. Yes.
I had the chance to listen to some of your speeches and really like the content. And I very much like your phrase, marketing is about to start a conversation. So if you have to give a start of the state of the MSP Nation address, what will be your content, your diagnose for starting conversations on the MSP side?
I've never thought about a state of the nation before, so that's really put me on the spot. But I like that. I like that. What's the philosophy? I guess what's at the core of what I believe and the sort of the how we help people. And I think yes, you've picked the phrase around starting conversations. And you know, I think you probably heard this number last calendar year. I actually looked in our CRM system and I had formal contact and conversations with 320 different MSPs around the world, which is an incredible privilege, really, because you get a real insight into the industry. And the majority, if not all of those businesses, struggle with marketing, and it's not a surprise. Typically, people who found these sorts of businesses are IT people. You know, that's what they know, that's what they love, that's what they're trained in. And so, you know, why should they know about marketing, sales? You can't be expert at everything. So when we help these businesses to hopefully get noticed and get found and get heard, yeah, our philosophy is all around, how can you as an MSP start a conversation? And what I mean by that, with a prospect, I should say, and what I mean by that is, I'm a firm believer that in our industry, people will buy from people for years and years and years. And MSPs really, for me, are selling trust first and foremost, and IT almost comes second. So for a prospect, for a, you know, potential customer to trust you with the keys to their kingdom, as we say, you know, and the ability to control and run IT and infrastructure for a business, it's a big deal, you know. And so you have to have that trust there. So starting conversations with people, for me, is very much the beginning of that sales process, and that's what we focus on, getting that personality coming through, and people warming to one another. And just to finish that answer, you know, just yesterday I was in London. We had a lunch with a client of ours, and you know, it was just fantastic. We spent 2 hours together. There was nothing formal about it. It was just, let's get together. Mm-hmm. And you know, we all went away thinking, well, that was 2 hours really well spent, because we were spending time together. We weren't just over Teams. You know, it wasn't just a transactional thing. It was genuinely moving the relationship forward. There was no ulterior motive, and it was a, you know, a really good conversation.
So conversation between people runs in two directions, and it's not one-dimensional. So if you take a look at all the possible channels, let's skip for a moment the strategy topic. So you spoke in masterclasses about finding your target group. Everything's 100% agree. If we do the next step and have a look at just to generate this both directional conversation. And there are different channels where we can try to generate trust, as you mentioned. How do you rate or recommend, if I was founder of a new, we got the question, should from an IT company in our masterclass we both did, should I found a new company? So for instance, I say I found, as Olaf, a new MSP. So I'm brand new. Where to start be personal and to start this person-to-person communication with all the possible channels that I maybe should use?
Yes, a good question, and I guess, yeah, we work with some startups. We work with MSPs that have grown to 150 plus people, you know, so and everything in between. So starting up, it will depend on where you are in the world. You know, let's get that out there straight away. There are many towns, cities here in the UK saturated, you know, let's be honest, with IT businesses, with MSPs who have been going for many years or set up more recently. And so and I know that's very much the same in North America as well, and I'm sure it's similar in different pockets around Europe too. So I think if you are going to embark on this journey, and you know, you're perhaps let's say you might be a technician within another business, and you think, okay, I can do this better. I can do it alone. I see an opportunity. It's very, very tempting, I think, to go off and buy that stack, you know, invest heavily in the technology and then kind of, you know, open the doors and go, right, come on then, let's go. And of course, life doesn't work like that. And for me, I think if you're in thinking about embarking on this sort of journey, starting with that plan, however small, of how you are going to start to win your first one or two or three customers is a much, much better place to start than doing the things I know traditionally people love, which is getting their hands dirty with the technology and working out how to do all this stuff. because there's no point in making this huge investment if you then go, well, I don't know how to win my first customer. So spend your time thinking about that first of all. And that may be opening your address book. It may be looking at your LinkedIn network. It may be going to have some lunches and dinners with a few close people to sound them out, to find out if they might be interested in being that test first customer. And if you then start to see some traction, you think, hey, do you know what? There are maybe three or four people around me that this could work with. Then go and buy the technology and then go and make it happen. But start with, I'm going to call it the hustle factor, Olaf. You know, forget the mass mailings, forget the social media. When you are beginning, when you are starting up, you've got to go one-to-one and ask those questions and buy those lunches.
Really like this. So what, from my perspective, a lot about talking in the channels about these marketing, in the IT channels about these marketing channels, and less talking is about content. But you need, even for this one-on-ones, what you just mentioned, maybe I need some kind, not only about my personality and about, crafting such conversation, but also about giving them some kind of content afterwards or in this process of coming more together to understand what my idea is to help them. So what role does content play in this marketing stages besides all these possible channels from social media, newsletter, website, etc.? How do you rate content and content quality?
So let's assume that you are now an established business. We've gone beyond that hustle factor, if you like, because or to address that specifically. On those very, very early stages, I'm not convinced content is necessary as you're literally sounding out the market. It is about the one-to-one conversation. But let's assume you're established, you've got those first two or three customers under your belt. Am I answering your question there? Hola?
Yeah, you did. Okay. You did. Do I have to have a website only, not special content like how my managed security pump blah blah works, but I do have to establish a website.
Yeah, sure. Right. But where I was coming from in those early days, for me, it's about buying lunches. Yes, sure, it might be good to have that website, but. Yeah, and I'm talking that first stage. Let me be super, super clear. This is about testing the market initially before you've gone and bought that stack. But let's say you tested the market. You can see you've got one or two or three customers potentially lined up, and you've got that software in place. Yes, of course. If you're then going to start to actively sell, first thing you need is that website. And
okay, and now we go further.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I got you. I do the one-on-ones. I learn something out of the answers, the questions, the feedback I gathered from these talks.
Yeah.
Then I reshaped maybe my approach. I put a website online, and then half a year later, I have my first 5 or 8 clients. They hopefully are lucky with my services, and Back to the point where we wanted to.
So where does content come in? I hear you. And I think one of the first things I'd say is telling stories is one of the ways to set yourself apart from the competition. And so what I mean by that is, you know, I think over the coming months, the standard kind of blog content, which, you know, much of it is AI created, much of it is bland, I think is just going to become more and more devalued out there, in, you know, when it comes to search engine optimization and so on. And, you know, there is so much out there. It's very, very hard to cut across. So where I think content needs to start to differentiate is telling stories. So explaining, which is unique then, isn't it? It's not just bland, generic stuff. It's explaining how you've helped a customer go from A to B, how you've protected them, how you've secured them. And so things like case studies, testimonials, social proof, I'm absolutely passionate about, because that is what will set you apart from the competition. But when it comes to more generic social media, and we've had a fantastic example just this week. In fact, just yesterday, we tried to practice what we preach at Wingman.
You saw it on LinkedIn.
Yeah,
I saw you spinning.
I know. And for those that didn't see it, I'm glad you picked up on it, Olaf. But, you know, it was a very, very simple post around someone had taken a picture and I was stood on a box and we were doing some filming for some content we were producing. And, you know, it was a bit of fun because I was stood on a box because I'm not very tall. Someone actually said, oh, Tom Cruise, you know, I mean, I wish. And the point I'm trying to make is it's about personality. It's about engaging people. Hey, there's no law that says you can't make people smile when it comes to business, you know. So I think creating some stuff along the way amidst all the other more standard content, which makes people smile, which shows the personality behind your business, because people buy from people, remember. I think that is where people should be focusing on from a content point of view.
Let's say I'm a lucky guy and I, after 2 or 3 years, now have my first 50 managed service clients. And marketing always comes for, as you always say in your speeches, is to generate leads. I worked 15 years on the managed service side, and we had, or every people who listens, they have 200, 300, 400 existing clients in their database, in their CRM, probably. So, and sometimes maybe it's not a good idea to skip communicate and to create conversations also, not only to generate leads from the whole marketplace, but to stay in contact with all my existing customers. So what do you recommend for these conversations? It's not to generate leads in terms of new clients, it's to generate new conversations about opportunities, about helpful ideas for the ones I already know. My experience is that has not that much attention as needed. So what's your take on this?
Yeah, good question. And I think it is very easy to forget to educate your current customer base. So there's two angles I'd come at it from. The first one is perhaps a bit more obvious. The second one is less so, and I hope it's valuable for people. So the first one is, and look, we do this for people, is that kind of, you know, monthly or maybe quarterly, depending on the cadence, what's most appropriate, newsletter, email newsletter, or frankly, depending on how many customers you've got, when's the last time you received something through the post? It's pretty rare. So actually printing that newsletter and sending it, providing it has something in there of interest is potentially a good idea, because it actually gets noticed. It might get noticed more than doing it via email. But I think the content within that newsletter obviously needs to resonate with those customers, and it needs to talk about your business and the things that are going on and the people within it, some of the personalities maybe that they have either come across or perhaps didn't know of. It might be a roundup of some of the technology news, which you know might be useful to them. There's a whole bunch of things that you can put into that. And I think it's just something you need to get into as a matter of course to help continue to be, educating, but also just staying in touch. So that's a very obvious answer, I think. The less obvious answer, and this is something I've I've tried to practice for many, many years. And it only really works if everybody in the business is doing it. And that is those ad hoc moments of communication where you're aware through your relationship with those clients. And this falls right down to technicians on the help desk as well. And some people may smile at me and go, oh, yeah, that this is never going to happen. But it can happen. And I've seen it working before. And that is, you know, you're aware somebody is rolling out a particular project. And you as that technician grabbing hold of all sorts of content which is out there because it's part of your job, you want to stay up to date. When was the last time you thought, oh, that might be interesting for the customer over there? And just grab a link, an email, and buy this, you know, I saw this and thought of you. When was the last time anybody did that? And when you do receive something like that, it means the world. It's personal. That individual has been thinking about them. And the best way to do this for me is to use a tool like Feedly. You know, I think, Olaf, you and I are old enough to know what an RSS feed is. They still exist. Yes, to every feed out there. And it's really, for me, it's one of those undervalued things. So use a tool like Feedly, set up a bunch of feeds, and, you know, for 10 minutes every morning before you start your day, run through them. And then if you see something interesting, go send it to a customer. And that gets remembered. So that might be an interesting idea for people.
Yeah, thank you. I also have this Google Alerts system. So yep. I drop lots of keywords and I like to be provided by Google with new pages, new content regarding my types of interest. I guess a very helpful idea to also create some of this one-on-one conversations, even if they are digital. At the starting point of the conversation, maybe it gets personal or my client answers my email. Maybe this can help you. Oh, that's very, I'm curious about, let's have a Teams meeting or whatever. So
absolutely.
Maybe it's a good idea for a starting point, not the finishing point of a conversation.
Yeah, totally.
What are your experiences telling stories? You mentioned telling stories about webinars. So it's like we are seeing each other using our cameras. Is it helpful? Is it a good idea for IT companies to have regular webinars?
Yeah, again, this is something we've helped companies with. And honestly, you know, that sometimes you get success, sometimes less so. I think there's potentially a bit of webinar fatigue around. And so I think if you do choose to go down this path, you may not succeed depending on what your definition of success actually is. But to have a program in place to do something, I don't know, let's say quarterly, where you could invite existing customers to as well, you know, again, to picking up on your point there. But making other people aware, in your prospect database that, hey, look, you know, we're doing something here. We've been asked this question a lot, so we're going to answer it in a kind of a public environment. It's always very disheartening if, you know, only a handful of people turn up or no one turns up.
I know this.
But let's not forget, you can still, I don't think that content is wasted necessarily. The fact that you are forcing yourself to go through this process means that you're juicing something, hopefully of value. So, you know, you're going to record that video, that webinar, or you choose to take that same, you know, script and content and stand on a box and film it, you know, in front of a camera. And get that on YouTube to fill up that YouTube channel, to transcribe it and turn it into a blog post, to break it up into little pieces and put it on social media. So I think in a way, having a webinar series of some kind is almost like a facilitator to force you to create that content. The webinar is kind of like the nice to have at the end, and sure, if people turn up, fantastic. But actually, what's possibly more important is that it's forced you to create something which is a value which you can use in lots and lots of different ways. So I think it really does depend on your market, your location, where you are as a business, if webinars might work for you. But like everything in life, Olaf, you know, it would be a test. Don't just do one and give up if it doesn't work, but, you know, maybe yes, two, three, or four.
That's it.
And then you'll have your answer.
One of my consulting clients with 100 employees thinks in campaigns. So they see a webinar not as a one-time or a quarterly webinar. So they have a campaign, a content-driven campaign strategy. What are the items, the stories we want to tell this quarter? And then they put these core content in a webinar, in an email, in whatever, social media, etc. So they're thinking on a higher level about what do we do in marketing, and then webinar is one instrument in this campaign thinking. Yep. So does it make sense?
Yeah, totally. It's along the lines I was saying, I guess. I think it's if you... English phrase, I hope this translates, but put all your eggs in one basket. It's like, we're going to do this webinar, we're going to focus on this, and yeah, not have any other thought as to how it could, that content could be used, and two people turn up, you're going to get very deflated. So I think I think it's important to figure out how you're going to use that content before you do anything else, you know, have that in your plan. So yeah, I'm with you on that.
So our personal yeah, my history is coming from different angles. So I'm coming from a sales side, and you, as explained, you fell into IT and marketing, and probably there should be some kind of interface. And it's always a question: how does marketing and sales really establish a good atmosphere and good results as a combined process? So what's your view on this? So what do you, from marketing perspective, would expect from me as your sales guy? What do I have to, fulfill so that you think all my efforts in marketing will not be burned if I hand it over to this red-haired guy?
that's a good question. And I think for the majority of MSPs out there who are, let's say, somewhere between 10 and 20 employees, mm-hmm, they don't have that issue. Okay, there's no marketing department, there's no sales department, but I will still try and answer your question, because the equivalent for me, and I've heard this a number of times recently, and I've cautioned the business owner where they've come onto a sort of a discovery type call with us. And I said, Mark, you know, and bearing in mind, you know, their marketing at this point is kind of non-existent. Their website may be terrible, or, you know, they don't have there's no plan. I said, Mark, next week we're hiring a salesperson. And I'm like, I put my head in my hands, Olaf, and I was like, oh, no. And the reason I put my head in my hands is because if you are listening to this, you are an MSP owner, you're thinking of going down this route, unless you have proven a process, a model which works, how on earth are you going to be able to explain to a new salesperson coming in what works and how to go about selling your very, very, you know, personal business, you know, with its own unique traits and its own unique location and so on? How can you describe to that new individual who's just parachuted in what to do? And this is how we're going to achieve success. So if you bring in a salesperson and the marketing, you know, department, team, or whoever it is, it could be nobody, but your marketing as a business,
wingman MSP,
yeah, is non-existent. You know, if you have that terrible website, then what is the point of employing somebody to get on the phones or to prospect, however they're going to go and do their prospecting, when the first thing that your prospect or target is going to do is go, oh, I'll check these guys out. And if you look like you're still a business stuck in 1995, because that's what your website is portraying, that salesperson's always going to be fighting that uphill battle. So you have to get that marketing foundation right and in place, mm-hmm, before you even think about bringing in a salesperson. And even then, unless you as that business owner, who let's face it, is typically the one that's led sales until that point, unless you can articulate and describe and write down in the process what's working and what's not, then I personally believe you're always going to be disappointed with the results that a brand new salesperson is going to have. So hopefully that's a sort of a roundabout answer to your question there.
I will do a little ping pong. I know a lot of MSP founders or IT channel founders. They think I'm a technician. I'm not a sales guy. That's right. Okay. So I need a sales expert. This is why I hire one.
Yeah.
So they will fill this gap because I'm not a sales expert.
Yeah.
So that's their idea. I'm not saying this will work. That's the idea behind the strategy. I hire an expert. And on the other hand, they are themselves the first salesperson. Otherwise, they had no clients. So they can think that what you said, establish something that works, mm-hmm. and then hire maybe your first sales guy. So if they think in roles, the founder has not one role. I'm founder. He is maybe the lead technician. He is also has the role sales manager and also managing director and so on and so on. Car policy maker or whatever. He has maybe more than 10 roles.
Yep.
And one role for sure, the managing director is, he is the sales manager from the start. So he can establish, together with the marketing foundation you mentioned, he can establish some kind of process and some kind of, I like internal SLAs. So I know lots of companies have SLAs, not to put them in a contract for their clients, but to ensure the internal quality. And that's the same between the process from marketing to sales, even to the managing director. What is the, after how many hours do I respond to an incoming lead and so on? There need to be some kind of definition, not for the new sales guy from my perspective, but even for all the ones who are there, already there. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah, totally. But I think you can probably only start to define those internal SLAs when you've done this a few times, so you get a feel for what's good, you know, and what's bad.
Right.
There's no point.
What's feasible?
Yeah.
Don't start with some wishful thinking.
Yeah.
But what's realistic?
yeah. Exactly. And just on that point about how quickly should you follow up? You know, you've got a contact form through the website, and for me, you know, just thinking that I have, don't respond within 3 minutes, you know, mm-hmm. as lovely as that might be, it just kind of shows that you've got nothing going on as a business. Even if you're you know, ecstatic that you've got a lead coming through, you know, give it 2 or 3 hours. That's what I'm saying. As opposed to, oh great, can we meet, you know. There's desperation and then there's just being a bit more chilled out. So that may be obvious to people, but I thought I'd just throw that one in.
Thanks for this professional view. One last question regarding the future. So the crystal ball question. What do you expect from marketing, conversation starting, what will change maybe within the next 12, 18 months? And what do following this have managed service providers to keep in mind, maybe to overthink their approach or whatever? What do we expect will change maybe a little bit the conversation landscape for MSPs?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know really. I don't think much will change in 12 months. Mm-hmm. If I'm honest, I this is going to be location specific, but I do see it just getting tougher out there. And the reason I say that, not because the demand isn't there, I don't think, is because this marketplace is maturing. And again, I'm talking generic, and I appreciate the pockets around the world, it will all be a bit different. But certainly, you know, the English speaking world that we work with, North America, UK, Australia, a little bit in the Middle East as well, that there is, you know, this IT way of working, this managed services way of working is well established. And as I said a little bit earlier, you know, there are so many of these businesses and still popping up every single day of the week. And there is only so much business to go round. And I think, I just think it's going to be harder, which is what you then need to do as a business is to present yourself better. You need to explain how you are going to be better, different, how you can differentiate yourself. And one of the ways I think that can be done, and we've not yet touched on this, so I'll throw this in maybe as something to think about over the next 12 months, and that is playing more in your marketplace, being that person of influence. Again, people buy from people. I'm going to keep coming back to it. Now, how can you cut through the noise? How can you go and stand up on stage and at your local business forum of some kind and show people that you're expert at what you do? There is no finer way of starting conversations than doing that. So that's one example. So I think that's something which we might start to see a little bit more of for those who are brave enough to A, stand on stage, but B, put the time and energy and effort in that it takes to become noticed in your market vertical or in your geography as that expert.
Mark, thank you very much. I will think about a lot of what you talked about, and I'm really, really sure that all the MSPs listening get helpful insights from your side. So much success with Women MSP Marketing, and I'm really looking forward to have another conversation with you. Mark, thank you.
Thanks, Olaf. That was a very quick 30 minutes. Thanks ever so much.